the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
What's up, everyone? This is Luke Munger of Dogman.com alongside Jack McCauley. We were both in Ann Arbor for the most recent weekend. Jack, obviously not an outcome the Huskies were hoping for, but how did you enjoy your time in the Big House?
Up until about 8 p.m., I had a great time. The tailgating experience, it was really spread. It was kind of weird. So for those of you who didn't go, Ann Arbor was very unique tailgating-wise. I don't know if you thought the same thing, Luke, but it was really spread out. When you're tailgating, it doesn't feel like there's that many people there. And then once you get in the stadium, you're like, where did all these people come from? Because I swear there was not this many people out in the streets. Overall, though, there's a really good Husky turnout, I thought. Walking up and down Ann Arbor, just saw Husky fans everywhere in the stadium, although it was a ton of maize. The backs were lined up with purple, black, that sort of stuff. There's a big section of Husky fans. I thought good turnout for Washington. Overall, really cool experience and definitely a bucket list item.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think Ann Arbor is not as geographically like limited as Seattle is, you know? So they're, I think, able to spread out a little more. I agree. It didn't feel as kind of like centralized as maybe.
Yeah, you'd still think it would be centralized, though, you know? Everybody yeah. wanted to have like, be around the stadium with that kind of energy or
yeah,
whatever. But
the
no,
energy in the stadium though was incredible.
It was one of the best atmospheres I've ever been in a stadium for sure. Just like their crowd engagement overall was awesome. Yeah. They did a great job with that, as you know, keeping fans engaged, and then also 110,000 people. I mean, you look across the way and the person just looks like a insect compared to you know what you see at Husky Stadium.
Totally. Yeah. Well, so now the Huskies 0-2, 17 points scored total this season, and they are going to square off against an Arkansas State team that has scored 40-plus points in each of its two games that it's played this year. Jack, I know you did a kind of dive into the Red Wolves offense. What can we expect from this offensive unit?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to know is Arkansas State, believe it or not, they do a two-quarterback system. They run two quarterbacks, which is very rare to see. You don't see that too often at all. They have two guys, Lane Hatcher. He's an former Alabama player, walk-on. He's more of like a Drew Brees-esque player, very accurate. Doesn't miss his mark much. He actually has a 70% completion rating right now. So I think if I had to guess, I think he's going to be the guy that's going to get more of the playing time for most of the game. I think just because I think it's, you know, you got to be very precise with where you're throwing the ball against Washington, and you have to be able to hit your guy on a dot, basically, which is why I think he's going to get some more playing time as opposed to James Blackman, former Florida State Seminole, highly touted recruit. He's the other guy, and he's more of the deep ball playmaker. I think he'll start out first, and Arkansas State's going to try and be aggressive, but ultimately I don't think that's going to work out, which is why I see the other Hatcher going in. More than Blackman, but I think Blackman will see his fair share as well, especially if they're trying to get the ball downfield, you know, third and 10, second and long. That's when Blackman's going to come in, try and make a play. But I think if you're going to get it in a rhythm, I think Hatcher's the guy to get you in a rhythm more than Blackman. And for receivers, like I said, you know, they really like to throw the ball a lot with their two quarterbacks. They have a variety of receivers that they like to throw out there. I think they have about five respectively, but they're two that they look to the most. Jeff Foreman and Tavalence Hunter, they each had 8 and 9 targets last week against Michigan, or not Michigan,
Memphis.
Yeah, I don't know why I blanked there. And they combined for 321 receiving yards, which is massive. Washington only had one guy over 100 last week, and they had two guys combining for 321, which is absurd. And they have three other guys, Corey Rucker, he's a freshman. He's been very good this year with the Red Wolves, and he's more of a touchdown threat. Emmanuel Stevenson and Adam Jones are their other two who make up a solid 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 punch. They like to run fast. They like to move the ball downfield. On the run game, they also like to throw the ball out of the backfield a lot. Kind of like Wazoo, you know, they're not going to run the ball as much. But they have three. You remember 2016 Wazoo, they had like three running backs who all caught balls out of the backfield. This is kind of what you're seeing with Arkansas State here. This is what it reminded me of. It's Al Lamar, Lincoln Parr, and Johnny Lang. Lamar and Lang will get most of the carries, where Lang was the guy who saw 12 last week as opposed to six of the other two. But they all get work out of the backfield, getting targets. The other two, Lamar and Parr, combined for 9 catches out of the backfield. So they really like to use the receivers in checkdowns, screens, stuff like that, especially if they're not able to hit their guy downfield, which is why I think they're going to get a lot of work this week. Washington, you know, they have two great corners in Kyler Murray and – not Kyler Gordon and Trent McDuffie. I'm really struggling today. So they have two lockdown corners, which is why I think they're going to do a lot of dump down work, a lot of screens, get guys in space, do that sort of thing. If they do decide to run the ball, though, Arkansas State has a pretty massive offensive line. Their center weighs in at 285. The rest are all over 310, with their biggest maxing out at 340 pounds and another at 335. So they are very big up front, which gives me a little bit of worry just because Washington hasn't done well with big offensive lines. They didn't do well against Montana, smaller school, big offensive line. Similar thing here with Arkansas State. If I'm Arkansas State, though, you're trying to run the ball as much as you can. This is obviously the weakness of Washington. They only allowed 40 yards through the air against Michigan, who is much more talented than Arkansas State. So if you're Arkansas State, you're really trying to run the ball as much as you can. However, haven't been as formidable running the ball this season. If that's going to change, Husky Stadium is the time to do it against a weaker defensive run game. So Jimmy Lake, Bob Gregory, they really got to dial in their run defense. The dial in their run defense, you force them to throw the ball, force them to create turnovers, and I think that's how Washington will win the game if they are to win.
Awesome. So, yeah, you mentioned you're looking at Arkansas State to maybe switch things up and run a little more than they have in the past. But this is a team that last year averaged 3.6 per carry. Their two lead rushers that you mentioned, Johnny Lang and Alan Lamar, averaging under 4 yards per carry this year. Do you think, I don't know, is that something that they can do effectively against a team like the Huskies? Like you mentioned,
yeah, I think you have to be able to
run it all over the Dogs, but Montana not so much.
I think you have to. But you have to run the ball effectively against Washington because you can't throw the ball. Which worries me for Arkansas State is against Memphis. You're throwing the ball. You decide to run the ball. When you run the ball after you throw the ball so much, you're thinking, what, 5-6 yards, 5 or 6 yard gain maybe? But, you know, you're getting just over 3 yards a carry. That's not good. And Memphis is not a great defensive team. So that gives me a little bit of worry. So Washington, I think if you're Washington, you really try and slow this team down offensively especially, and just let them try and move the ball. They do have playmakers, especially in space, which is a little bit worrisome. So if they are able to get those dump-offs and they're able to break a couple tackles, that's where I think Arkansas State's going to be most dangerous.
Understood. Yeah, and you mentioned a few playmakers at receiver, not to mention Tavalens Wallace, Jeff Foreman, and then, of course, Corey Recker, the freshman. Tell me a little bit about the profile of these guys. Are these burners, big play guys? How are they going to attack, like you said, some lockdown corners like Kyler Gordon?
Yeah, Hunt is a bigger guy. He's 6'3". Rucker and Foreman, they aren't small. They are just over 6 foot. So they do have size at the receiver position where Washington's corners are 6 foot, 5'11". They got some size there. I'd expect them to throw the ball up to Hunt, kind of looking more at a Ty Jones role. You know, if they need to move the sticks, get him on the edge, let him go up and try and make a ball because he's very athletic. Rucker, he's the touchdown guy, for this year. If they're going to go to the end zone, that's who they're going to hit up in the end zone. Kind of like an Adam Thielen, going to land a lot of touchdowns this season. So if they're a good route runner, real polish, especially as a freshman, it's quite impressive. So Rucker's going to be the guy who they're going to throw the ball a lot to the end zone. Hunt more in space, they need to move the ball. And then their other guys, just, you know, sorry, I lost my word. The other guy, just more of a, what they're going to do with him is just get him in space all over the field, more of a burner, maybe not as much targets, but he's going to do his thing.
Certainly. And then you mentioned big offensive line. Haven't really been able to pave the way for success on the ground these past couple of seasons.
No, but they've been good in pass protection, which is something that something that Washington has struggled with. So, you know, Ryan Bowman, he's just, you know, being a 6-year senior, you really think he's got to step up this game and make his presence felt, as long as guys like Savelle Smalls, Braylon Trice. We keep saying it. This is a big problem for Washington. They really, they're not going to do it against Arkansas State. It's going to be hard to see it for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. Thanks for that preview.
Yeah, defensively, Luke, they've had their share of struggles, to say the least.
Certainly. Yeah. So they are on their first year of a new defensive coordinator, Coach Harley, who was hired in December of 2020. In the previous two seasons, they've forfeited over 35 points per game. And they've had kind of mixed success on the defensive side of the ball, held Central Arkansas to 21 points in their opener, but then gave up 55 points to Memphis last week. I watched that game a little bit to kind of prep for this. And what really stood out to me is like a ton of missed tackles, especially in the secondary. There were numerous touchdown, both runs and pass plays that could have been bottled up for 5-6 yards through the air, or maybe 4 or 5 yards on the ground. And then someone in the secondary just makes kind of like a half-hearted attempt at a tackle. And all of a sudden, someone is making their way to pay dirt. That said, there are some interesting guys to keep an eye out for on this defense. Kyvon Bennett is an edge rusher. He was tied for the team lead in sacks with 4.5 in 7 games last year for Tennessee before transferring to Arkansas State this year. He's kind of a smaller DN, 6'2", 236 pounds, but found a way to get after the quarterback in the SEC last year. Already has 4.5 tackles for loss this year. On top of that, they have a couple of veteran interior defensive linemen who combined for 10 tackles for loss in 10 games last year. Not the biggest guys up front, also 6 foot 293 and 6'1", 270 respectively. So another time, the Huskies outweigh their counterparts in the trenches. The Huskies weren't able to take advantage of that against Montana, and they will need to do so against Arkansas State this go-around. At linebacker, they have a veteran guy in Caleb Bonner. He started over 25 games for Arkansas State, was honorable mention all-conference in 2019, and has had 5 tackles for loss in each of the past 2 seasons. So he's another guy to keep an eye out for. They kind of do a 4-2-5 kind of defensive look, oftentimes in nickel. Anthony Schweitzer is their nickel. Is a pretty solid guy in both run support and pass coverage, 6'2", 205. And they have some interesting corners as well. Another kind of power five transfer in Denzel Blackman, who originally went to Boston College out of school and played some special teams, starting at corner. And then Taylen Doss is really the name I think to keep an eye out for in the secondary. He's a young guy, new starter. He won the 4-6 A to B award in spring, which basically is just like an award that goes out to hard workers. He leads the team in tackles with 12 this year, has a tackle for loss, and he is a pretty dynamic option back at safety. So they have some guys, but really kind of lackluster tackling, I would say, is really what has to be take the blame for some bad defense against a good team like Memphis. And the Huskies have to be looking at an opportunity here to get the ball rolling on the offensive side. And what I think the Huskies' path to success is here is last year, Arkansas State allowed over 300 yards through the air per game passing. So far this year, they've allowed 296 yards to Central Arkansas and then 417 yards and 5 touchdowns to Memphis. Now, that's something that the Huskies have to take advantage of. I think it will be enticing for the Huskies to want to stick to their identity and run the ball against a team that's smaller than them. It didn't work against Montana. It certainly didn't work against Michigan. So it's time to see, will the Huskies stick with their guns and try to get rolling the way that they want their identity to be, or will they kind of pivot and try to make an adjustment off of what hasn't really worked for them in 2 games? I think if the Huskies want to win this game, like if that is their number one goal, they'll come out and let Dylan cook.
I think you have to at this point, you know, kind of like you said, Arkansas State linebackers, cornerbacks, lackluster is at best to say they're tackling. Receiving wise for Washington, outside of Terrell Bynum, do you expect any receiver for Washington to be able like to fit their strength? Is there anyone on Washington's receiving corps outside of Bynum who's kind of do it all that could make a big impact on their on this game and, you know, reach their strength?
Yeah, one guy I think who really could make a difference is Giles Jackson. I think Giles Jackson was solid last week against Michigan, had a couple of carries, ended up getting some positive yards on the ground, three catches for about 40 yards. And the reason that I think that he could have a huge game is he's the most dangerous with the ball in his hands. And I think this is a big yards after catch opportunity game for the Huskies. I could see him maybe making a guy miss even on like a jet sweep or end around and go the distance, or maybe make a guy miss across the middle and have nothing but daylight in front of him. I think Giles Jackson is a guy that on top of Arkansas State's struggling to tackle the ball carrier against Memphis, is the fastest player on the field and I think could make Arkansas State pay. So he would be my like guy to watch in the receiving group for the Huskies.
From my perspective, it seems like an I formation is the last thing you want to run against a team like Arkansas State. You really want to use a spread, 2021 look, spread the ball out, get lined up different ways, go downfield, take some shots, get in space. Do you think Washington, I'm not saying, I think that's what they have to do to win, kind of like you said. Do you think they will, though? Do you think they're ultimately going to end up spreading the ball around, or do you think they're going to, all right, we're going to pound the ball. Here we go again. You know, fourth and five, we're going power right. Do you think that's going to happen again?
That's the million-dollar question. I think that the Huskies, the game, and maybe, I don't know if this is wishful thinking, but I think the Huskies will open up and then make the start of this game look like the 2020 Arizona game, where Jimmy Worth run the damn ball had after the Beavs win, but then comes out first drive, 75 yards to Puka Nacua. Kate Otten has a field day through the air. I think the Huskies will come. It might be wishful thinking, but I think the Huskies are going to come out, make an adjustment, say this hasn't worked for 2 weeks. I think there are certain members of the coaching staff who are feeling a lot of heat right now. And I think the response to that heat will maybe be a pivot.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Jimmy Lake and John Donovan offensively, I think you have no other choice but to pivot this game, especially against a team. And this is the perfect game to make that change of direction because they're so weak in the secondary. If it works out, maybe it'll carry over against Cal. But I think ultimately, like you're saying, they have to do it. You know, running back-wise, Sean McGrew, Kamari Pleasant, those are two of the better backs out of the backfield receiving. Do you think they're going to get their fair – do you think they're going to see the field at all this game?
That's a good question. If I have to speculate, my guess would be maybe not. If you haven't seen him through two games, you might not see him. However, I do think Cam Davis caught the ball a little bit last year, and he could be a guy that you see Demo check down to if they give him more opportunities to throw the ball early. Demo is certainly – right. I think Cameron Davis, I meant, is someone that you could keep an eye out for in that regard.
Gun to your head. How do you see this game going?
I'm not going to lie. I came into prepping for this game expecting to pick a very close game either way, just because the Huskies have – I mean, they're 17-point favorites, but they've scored 17 points this year. But watching the Memphis game, the Arkansas State-Memphis game, it's hard to imagine that the Huskies can't put some sort of points on the board against this Arkansas State team. And then the fact that Arkansas State – is like they really throw the ball to win. I like that matchup for the Huskies. So the question is this, which team will go against their identity in pursuit of a win? Will Arkansas State try to run the ball against a great pass defense in the Huskies that just gave up 331 yards on the ground to Michigan? And will the Huskies decide to throw the ball against a team who just gave up 417 yards and five touchdowns to Memphis, right? Honestly, gun to head right now, I'm going Huskies relatively comfortably. I think I had 35-13 coming out in the prediction, and I'm going to stick with my guns there. Huskies cover.
Yeah, that is a 34. Yeah, wow. I think Washington's going to pull this one out. I think they're going to make adjustments. I think they're going to be too stubborn though in the first half to make some of those adjustments. I think they're going to get maybe 7 to 7, maybe 10 points up in the first half. Then they start to explode, get the ball downfield more in the second half. They're going to stick to the run game, stick to what they've been doing, then start throwing the ball around second half. I think they win 24-17. I think Washington, I think Arkansas State has an explosive offense, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, 35 points, 50 points explosive like it's been in the past. I just don't see that against, you know, Washington's cornerbacks and secondary being so lethal against, you know, a potent throwing attack. I just don't see it. But, you know, if Washington is going to win this game, two things I think they got to do. One, throw the ball. They really got to push the ball downfield, get it to get playmakers like Giles Jackson, Terrell Bynum, and then defensively, they really got to get pressure. I think if you get pressure, get behind the lines, I think, you know, you force a guy like Blackman who kind of just slings the ball downfield to make an errant throw. And then also you know, you take away the run game. They're going to shy away from that and keep throwing the ball since they don't normally run already.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like no matter how great your secondary is, if an offense has 5-6 seconds to throw the ball, they're going to make plays through the air. So I agree. Huskies have to push the ball downfield and have to get some pressure up front on the defensive side. So yeah, looking forward to the Huskies hopefully riding the ship on Saturday. It hasn't been the prettiest of starts to the season. But the Huskies, I think this could go a long way in taking, I don't know, building some positive momentum going into conference play.
Yep. I think it's fair to say John Donovan, Jimmy Lake really have to turn the ship around, head to clear waters this game, switching up the offense. I think, and if they don't do this game, it's going to be tough to say, but me and Luke both like Washington coming out of this game with a win. Me narrowly, Luke a little more comfortably, but nevertheless, a win's a win. And Dogs, we think, move on 1-2 against their home Pac-12 opener against Cal. With that being said, I'm Jack McCauley alongside Luke Munger. You can find the rest of game day, any Washington coverage on dogman.com. Go Dogs.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.